And I hear the first officer call out. And the first officer jumps on the radio and he screams, "Holy shit, it's the goat man." And I mean, it just like everything went quiet. And I could hear the ringing in my ears and I could feel my heart race. And so I hit my lights and I went flying up there.
I've been told by some older people, elders, that you grab them and you hold them and you don't own them, but you hold them there until daylight. If you can hold them or pull them into the light, it destroys anything they have, any kind of power or anything that, or anything they were trying to do to you, it'll destroy them.
This guy was like bouncing, like, you know, like how you see people kind of getting ready to jig, you know how they kind of bounce? Yeah, he was like that way. He was just kind of bouncing, and he was just kind of going back and forth from one foot to the other. And he just kind of turned sideways, and he turned back over to the other way, and he took off. Holy shit, he jumped in Wanda.
Welcome back, everyone. You're listening to Lodge Tales, and I'm your host, Rod Williamson. This guest that we have for episode 61 here is a Cree from British Columbia, and he talks about dreams. That's the main part in this. I mean, there's a lot of good stuff in here, don't get me wrong, but dreams is the big one here. And he's been having these dreams like since he got hurt, but it'll all be revealed in the podcast, this, you know, as the show progresses here. So we start off with those dreams, and then we start talking about other things. But the Wendigo is in this episode as well. First stories I've ever heard about it. And, you know, it's pretty amazing to hear these things from someone that, you know, it's in their tribe. They have a story about its origin and things like that. So I thought that was pretty cool. And again, thanks, Gary, for coming on the podcast and sharing all your stories. I don't think that this podcast here has all the markings of a patron episode, in my opinion. You know, it's got really good content with it. Not that the others don't, but this one, for some reason I think it should be a patron, but I can't do it. Gary has a message for all of us Indigenous, and it needs to be shared. Not with just us Indigenous, I think with the rest of the world. You know, because if things are going to go down, there are a lot of non-Indigenous people that are really close to us. You know, we're friends. I mean, I have a lot of friends that are non-Indigenous, and that, you know, they're almost like my brothers. You know, especially with the ones I served with, and then my friends around, you know, where I live. Yeah, there's some really good people that. Anyways, this message, it needs to be out there to everybody, so that's why I released it like this. And again, I have to apologize because his phone call, he cuts out a lot. But I left some of that in there where he's breaking up in hopes that we can kind of interpret it for ourselves, okay? So, I mean, I cut some of them out where they're really bad, but others I left in there. And I had to remind him, or let him know, because he didn't realize his phone was cutting out, but it was bad on our side. So you'll hear me do that at least once in there, you know. And but I left some of that in there so that we could kind of try to figure it out what he said. And it's starting to become a hallmark of the show, bad audio. Like, I don't know what that is. I really don't. In the beginning, it was me just being a rookie, and sometimes it happens again. Like, you know what I've noticed, though, is like when you're sharing these stories, sometimes things happen, like bad audio. I mean, I don't know how many times I've been doing it. We've been talking and the audio starts going bad for some reason, and people be like, "Oh, I don't know why that's happening. That never happens." And well, we all know why, you know. Sometimes those spirits don't want you talking about things. And I realize that. You know, like I said, though, I take precautions for myself. You know, there are things that I do with our, you know, Blackfeet ways that protect myself and my family from, you know, and anything showing up that we don't want around here. And so I try not to, you know, push the line too much with a lot of it. But so far, you know, I've been okay. There was only one time that something kind of really happened. And it was during the last podcast where we was up at the EMS. I didn't share this either. We were back that next day. See, it was New Year's Eve that I was recording up there. I spent New Year's Eve with my sister and one of my family members. But the next day was New Year's Day, and I was talking to my mother. I went to her house, and we were visiting. Kids were there and everybody, you know, visiting her. Well, as we're all sitting in her kitchen, she has a bathroom attached to the living room. I mean, as we're all sitting in her living room, there's a bathroom attached to that living room area. And the door was open. Well, I was telling her, yeah, I was up there recording, and I kept hearing this weird little knocking sound. It just in the audio, but I never heard it out as we were sitting there. So I don't know what that is. I couldn't figure it out. I didn't know what that was. And, you know, as I was talking like that, just kind of describing, you know, what we talked about and, you know, just kind of like that. But all of a sudden, her water turned on in her bathroom. And the guy, there was one of our friends was there, older guy, and he looked over and he was looking at that water faucet because he was closest to it and he could see it straight on from where he was sitting. He said, "Oh, your water just turned on." She did it. And she gets up and, "Did you leave it on?" "Yeah, I didn't leave that on." He said, I used the bathroom and, you know, I pushed it down kind of hard. He said, "I didn't leave that on." And my mom went in there and, oh, it was plumb up, like, you know, open. She has a little, kind of a lever. You pull it up, you know, like that, and it turns on. That turned on. She comes back. "God, you didn't bring anything here with you, did you? You know, nothing followed you from that hospital, did it?" I don't know. And so anyways, I end up smudging and everything, and, you know, so nothing followed me. But that was like the only time or something kind of happened, like, afterwards. But, you know, I've spoken to some of my previous guests, and they've said, yeah, man, like, that night after we hung up, man, things started happening. So I realized that. And there are people that will not listen to ghost stories because of that. Like, they won't even listen to them. But at the same time, it's important to share some of these stories, right? And I think it's even important to share the ghost stories. I mean, that's what this podcast is about. That's what I've been, you know, kind of geared around. And, you know, just stories of the paranormal and things like that. But I would just say be careful. And, you know, I smudge for my people when we come on. I pray, you know, and I ask for prayers for them and for me when we're done recording, or, you know, at the latest, you know, the next morning or something, you know. But after really scary ones, I usually smudge right then and there as soon as they're done, because I just feel like I need to cleanse, you know. I don't know. But that audio, like I'm saying, starting to become a staple of the show. Geez. Well, let's get into this episode with Gary Smallboy. He's a Cree from Canada. And here it goes. All right, everyone. In this episode, we have a guest who's going to talk a lot about dreams. So, he's from up north, and I'll let him introduce himself. But hang on, this is going to be one hell of a ride. And so, go ahead, Gary. Introduce yourself and tell us what your dreams have been about. Kind of walk us through everything, if you would.
All right. Hi, everybody. So I'm Gary Smallboy, and, you know, I have, I talk about a lot of my experiences and the stuff that I've dealt with in life. I have my TikTok account here that I do a lot of things, like helping people and whatnot, but we're going to try and go down with, the dreams that I've been having. So it goes back to when like see when was this? This was like about 2 months ago. So two months ago, I collapsed in front of my wife, near death experience, wasn't breathing, seen people on the other side and telling me that wasn't my time, that I still had a purpose in life to come back to, that I had to come back to my family. So that's how this is going to start. I was like, come back to my family and see my kids crying, my wife crying. And I look at my wife and I tell her, what happened? What, you know, and she goes, you're gone. I said, how long? How long did I stop breathing? And she goes, stop breathing about like, what, just about 5, 15 minutes or somewhere around 5 or, no, she goes 5. She said 5 minutes, I slept too long. I said, crazy, because I said, wherever I was, I felt like I was there forever, I told her. Ooh. I told her that it was different. Yeah, so it was different being on the other side because it was like time didn't exist. It was timeless. And because I'd never seen before, you know, I've heard about, but never seen before.
Yeah.
And they were telling me, my grandma was that, so I want you to tell your wife, she goes, God, I caught a bead and very proud of doing her work. She's telling me, and look,
your phone keeps breaking up, Gary.
Oh, about there, go on. Hey, can you hear me now?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I'll talk a little bit louder, but she goes, you need to go home. You got a family, I told her. I didn't even remember having a family. But I didn't remember having a family at all. And when she mentioned family, that I had a wife and kids, and that's when reality hit me. And when she pushed me, when my grandma pushed me, I woke up. I woke up looking at my wife. And when I came back, when I got rushed to the hospital and they're trying to see what was going on with me and what happened, and they couldn't explain it. They couldn't explain what happened to me. And just telling my wife that I started hearing these voices. And so I can hear these voices all around me. I said, like whispering. I can hear whispering. I said, it's like people, a bunch of people talking around me. So, the first night after we come home, it's the first night I'm going to sleep again, and I'm kind of scared to sleep because I'm still hearing these voices. Mm-hmm. So I go to sleep, and I have this dream. I have dreams. I start having these dreams about this Donald Trump. So I have this dream, Donald Trump getting in, and I watch him winning this election. By unanimous decision, he just wins. And I see Justin Trudeau, I see him stepping down. He steps down because somebody scares him to step down, and he steps down. And then I see this Pope Francis. This is the tricky one. This one's a scary one. I've seen this Pope sitting on this. I saw him sitting on his throne. So he was sitting on his golden chair. And these other people, these other priests, they all had a red cloth around their necks. And they're looking at him, and they start whispering in his ear, and they're talking to him. And he looks scared. He looks scared when he looks at them. And then that Pope, I watched this Pope get off of that throne. And this Pope goes home. He goes home, and this Pope lays in his bed and he doesn't wake up. Ooh. That's one of my dreams. So this Pope, it hasn't happened yet, but that these other stuff happened. This hasn't happened yet. But I think it's getting close. But this Pope will die from an illness. that's how I saw him in his bed. But he looked scared. He looked scared to death. Like he knew whatever they told him. And then my other dream, this is a couple days after, I have another dream. And I'm on this hill. I don't know where I am. I'm on this, there's this valley and there's this hill and there's this hill at this valley. And I can hear his voice. I can hear these, I can hear an elder's voice. And I hear a couple more. And they tell me to come. So I come over there and they're on top of this little tiny hill and they have these rocks placed around them. And they tell me to come and I look at them and I say, where am I? You know, like, who are you guys? Where am I? And he goes, don't worry about that. He goes, we need to warn. We need to warn our people, he says, we're your ancestors. We need to warn. You're going to be the one that tells them we need to warn them. He goes, something big is coming. I looked at him and I said, like, what's coming? What's going to happen? He goes, the white man, they're going to take out our people. He goes, they're going to take out our people. And I want you to tell people this. Every last drop of an indigenous person will be extinct, would be wiped out. He said, it doesn't matter if you're a Métis or anything. He goes, but I want you to warn them. They're going to take anybody, even if they only have a little bit of blood, he said. And they're going to come. He said, the army's going to come. They're going to come knocking on doors, and they're going to be pulling these families out of their homes. He said, these RCMP are going to come there, too, and they're going to be pulling these families out of their homes. Hmm. And I looked at him, and I said, I'm just dreaming, right? I looked at him. This is not real, I told him. He said, it is real. I'm here talking to you. And then the next elder came up to me. The next elder told me that he speaks the truth. He goes, warn the people. It's coming. It's already here. It's going to begin. There's going to be a place. There's going to be a place that you guys are all going to go to. I'm going to show you this place. And he shows me the mountains. He goes, our people will go to the mountains. He goes, they'll go to the mountains and I'm going to show you where we're going to hide, he says. They'll be safe here. And it's weird. I start levitating to this area, like just as if you're leaving your body, that levitation. Hmm. So I'm going to this mountain, this big mountain. And I get there and I look beside me. He's still with me. He's still with me. And he goes to that mountain and he touches that mountain. That mountain opens up. There's a big cave in there. There's a big cave. I don't know what he did, but this mountain opened up. Ooh. And when he opened this mountain up, there was already indigenous people in there. And he goes, this is where they'll all come. When the white man comes to try to look for you guys, this is where you'll be and you're going to be safe here. I want you to tell people about this place. It's sacred. He said, it's not just going to be here. It's going to be all around where all our indigenous brothers and sisters are. There's going to be a mountain in each different area. But they're going to be safe in the mountains. They need to go to the mountains. And he says, tell them to pray to us, to their ancestors. We hear them. We hear their prayers. You tell them to pray to us, and we're going to help them. He said, once you believe in us, we can show ourselves, but you have to believe in us. He goes, our people are fighting amongst each other. That's not where the fight is. He goes, the fight's coming. And he thinks the white man. And then we go back to that same area with the rocks around there. that third elder comes up to me. And he looks at me. He goes, I want to show you something. He takes me up. He takes me up to look from the top from the sky. And he makes me look down. And I see this big, dark cloud coming through this valley. A bunch of the lung in this cloud. He goes, that's already here and it's coming. And I looked at him and I said, what is that? I said, what's this dark cloud? He said, sickness.
Ooh.
It's a sickness. He goes, they're going to drop a sickness. They're going to get sick. This is how they take you out. And I'm looking at him. And I can't believe what I'm seeing because I'm looking at this big cloud. And all this lightning is around this cloud. And it's just pushing, pushing, pushing. And it just keeps coming through this valley. And he tells me to listen really carefully. And I listen. And I don't know, as I'm listening, I hear babies crying. I hear adults crying as this cloud's coming through. All you can hear are these cries. He said, you're gonna help us save as much as we can save of our people, the ones that will listen. And the ones you hear crying, those are going to be the ones that didn't listen.
Hmm.
So we go back, and that fourth elder, he's sitting there with his legs crossed. He's the last elder. And he starts singing this song. He starts singing a song before he talks to me. He's singing a song. And he tells me to try to remember my own culture. He says, it doesn't matter what culture you are. We're all still the same. We're all brothers and sisters. And he said, but you know how to know. He goes, you better know how to sing your powerful songs. We all have them. We have our ceremonies. You practice them. And he says, if you don't know how, I want you to take a walk. You walk in a bush, you walk in a clean area in a bush. He said, I want you just to listen. You put some tobacco down, and I want you just to listen. You're going to hear the birds. You're going to hear everything around you. You're going to hear the leaves moving. And I just want you to listen. And whatever you hear in there, he said, that's going to be your song. You're going to hear it. He goes, it's going to come from us. He goes, the other side. And you remember that. When those tough times come, I want you to sing that song. He goes, it's going to be like a shield. It's going to watch over you. He goes, I'm not here to scare you. But we're here to protect you. And this is the only way we can get our message out, because you can see us, he said. And I looked. I told him I don't know how I was able to see them. And he said, because I died.
Oh.
He said, because I died and I always believed in the other side. That's how they were able to come through to talk to me. And that's one of the dreams. And like I said, that these dreams, I have lots of dreams. Like I said, there's some I haven't shared yet. You know, I'm waiting for the right time to share them. You know what I mean? Like, I know everybody wants to know them.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these dreams, but they're almost as if it's something you don't want them to hear because they'll get scared of it.
Yeah.
But this other dream that I had was about these three nights. This elderly man came up to me and told me to be ready for these three nights. And then that was a really quick dream. I told my wife, that's all I remember. And I said, I woke up right away. I wanted to finish this dream, I told her. Because I wanted to know. And then, like, a week later, I have that same dream. But this time, it's not that indigenous man I see. I see Jesus Christ.
Oh.
That's who I see.
Yeah.
I never believed in him, because I believed in our own indigenous way.
Yeah.
And I just told my mom about this, and I told my mom all those years you were telling me that we don't pray to him. We call him Creator. I told my mom, that's what we were told. That's what you told me. And I said, but I saw him. He's real. Those holes in his hands, I said, he's real. And I walked with him. I said, I walked with him. When I walked with him, I told him, this is what heaven looks like. He just smiled at me. And he told me. I said, I didn't know heaven had mountains, I told him. And flowers like this. He said, heaven's what you make it. Those were his words. So, what you grew up or seeing, what you're used to seeing in this life, something that you cherished in this life, if you loved mountains, if you loved flowers, that's going to be your heaven. That's what you're going to see. Something you're familiar with. And when I looked at him, I told my mom, when he hugged me, it was different. I said, it was like a woman was hugging you. Like a mother.
Yeah.
I said, it wasn't like a father. It was more like a mother. That's the warmth. The safe place I felt like I was in those arms. And when I looked at him, he started telling me, I looked at his eyes, I told my wife, his eyes were the most beautiful thing I ever seen in my life. I said, I asked him, I said, your eyes, they're brown, green, blue. I'm naming these colors in his eyes, and he laughs, and he goes, that's why everybody needs to get along. I'm everything. And that really chipped me out, and that really chipped me out, and I was like, and he goes, we're connected. You guys are all connected to the Father, he says. And I'm wondering who he's talking about, because I thought he was the person of creation, but I had it all mixed up until he corrected me. He told me his Father is the creator of everything. The Omega started naming all that, and I was like, I never believed in any of this.
Yeah.
But when you're there, it's a whole different story. Everything changes for you. And I knew right there, and when I looked at him, I asked him, I didn't want to come back. I told him, I want to be here, you know, because I felt like I had nothing to come back to. That's how I felt. Because there you don't feel pain. There you don't feel nothing but love.
Mm-hmm.
No hate, nothing. And right after that, he goes, but I need you to go. You have a purpose. You have a task. I need you to speak to everybody. He goes, not to look at the color. You need to speak to everybody and tell them that you saw me. He goes, but I'm about to do something soon, and it's going to be big. If people don't change their ways.
Hmm.
And then out of nowhere, I'm back, and I wake up. I wake up from my dream.
And when I wake up, I look at my wife and I tell her, I feel like I can't walk. I seriously thought I couldn't walk because I couldn't feel my toes. And she stays there with me for a while and she goes, can you move them yet? And I said, no, like I can't move them. And then I start to get this feel finally in my feet, my toes, I'm moving them. So that's how I know I had that outer body experience. So now after that happens, everything kind of starts to get different now. Everything starts to get really different now. And I tell my wife, like, people want to hear these dreams, but I'm not just, you don't just dream every day.
Yeah.
So all these people want me to tell a dream. If I had another one and I try to explain to everybody, I said, I can't just snap my fingers and say, hey, this is what I had for a dream. I'm not going to make up something. I said, I'm going to be real with everybody because I got told to tell the truth. Because I was going to be showing things. And then after that, like I said, everything starts to get different. I'm looking at my wife. I start seeing these shadows in our house. Shadow people. I tell her, did you see that? Did you see that by the... Like somebody looked out at us and then put their head back in? And she goes, I did see that. So my wife sees this too. And I told her, ever since that I collapsed, I'm seeing these things. No, what's bad? And it's like, when I was there, he told me that there was going to be things that were going to try to stop me from getting these words out. And I've seen it on my TikTok too. He said, people will laugh at me, but I just keep going. So I keep going. I don't care about non-believers and whatnot. I got a job to do, you know. I got a job to do, and I'm going to fulfill that job. And I told my wife this. I told her this today, actually. I said, I need to tell you something. She goes, what's that? You know what I told you? Like, I got sent back here. And she goes, yeah. I feel like my time is almost done. Like, I have a couple more things to tell people, and then I get called home. And she goes, yeah, I notice it. I notice when you go and talk to people, it's like you're saying goodbye to people, right? I said, that's what it feels like. Because I'm going to people and I'm telling them about these dreams. And after I'm done with that, they say their life feels better that they know this. And then I go to the next person and talk to the next person and they say the same thing. I feel like it's getting close, I told her. And that's something I don't want to think about. Because I want to be. But I just looked at my wife and she goes, I hope that never happens. You know?
Yeah.
And I told her that I got told that there's going to be a lot of people that are going to have these gifts. I'm not the only one. And we're going to find each other. This other dream that I had, this is the one I'm still trying to figure out. There's a guy on TikTok right now, and he really resembles the person in my dream. I'm trying to connect with him. He's a good speaker, too. He's a young man, but he talks like me, whatnot, and I've seen him in my dream. This elder called us on top of this hill, and he had four staffs. He had four eagle staffs. Each one of us was given a staff. And we got told what these staffs were going to do. This is how we protect our people. And he said that we were going to find each other. He looked at all four of us looked at each other. And that elder looked at us and he said, you guys will find each other. And then I go on TikTok, I'm scrolling through and I see this native guy with braids, young guy, good speaker. And I'm like, this guy looks familiar. I recognize him. he was the third guy on, you know, on my left. He was one of the ones holding that staff. Somebody shares a video with me. See, this doesn't just happen. This is not just a coincidence. Somebody sends me another video with the same guy. And he's wearing a war bonnet, and he's holding a staff. And I said, I got to talk to this guy. So I'm still trying to connect with this guy. I'm waiting to catch one of his lives, and I don't want to shock him, but I'm going to try to record it as soon as I get a chance of speaking with him, because I'm gonna shock him. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I'm gonna be like, bro, I know you've been having these dreams, haven't you? He's probably gonna be like, I don't want people laughing at me. I'm gonna be like, we got told to tell people. So wake him up, right?
Yeah.
Remind him. So I'm gonna remind them. And these other people, like I said, I still don't know who these other ones are. I'm still looking for three more. You know, like there's three more people there. And who knows if I recognize somebody. It could even be you, bro. You know, we don't know. Like I said, I have to look at pictures. I have to try to remember and visualize and see. You never know.
Yeah.
You know, you never know. But I know we're supposed to find each other. And one of the weirdest things is how you came at me. You know, like when you were like, oh, I want to do a podcast. You know, I want to tell your story. You just come at me like that. That made me think, right?
Mm-hmm.
It made me think. So I kind of waited to do this podcast because I was like telling my wife, what if this is one of those other guys that were holding that staff? That's why I assist you back, because I was trying to tie in pieces, really trying to think, because that's the time the brain really has to work.
Yeah.
But if I do get more information on that, I'll for sure, you know, I'll tell you. I'll tell you if it's you, you know, and because you already told me that you have these, you kind of have these dreams.
Yeah, there's
that's how you're gonna.
I don't think I've ever told anybody, but I had a dream about, you know, I've never brought this up on my podcast, and I'm not saying I'm this person in your dream. I'm not saying that, but when you speak of that that cloud, that's, I had a dream, and long story short, in the dream, these things taught us, well, they showed us, they did this ceremony, and that what we did during that ceremony, it dispelled all the bad that was in Browning of my res. It's like a blanket, yeah, just lifted, like a weight lifted, and the sky was this clear, you could just see all the stars. It was at night when it took place, and I mean, there, some of the things you talk about, I think about too, because in that dream, like, I can't help but think about that black cloud, because there was this man that come from Canada once, and he said there's a black cloud over Browning, and I always thought about that, you know, and when me and one of my other friends talked about that before too, and we actually talked about it a few times, and that's when I shared that whole dream with him, and I really don't know what to make of it. I really don't. But that dream happened a long time ago, though. It happened in about 2003. And I still don't know what to do with it. I don't know.
That's crazy. And you hear my dream about that black clothes. Maybe there's your connection.
Yeah, it makes me think. It really does.
We get things, like what that elder told me, an ancestor on the other side, was we get shown things, but a lot of us are not too awake to understand it yet. But they tried to warn us. So now they're coming out again, and this time they know it's going to get bad. Now they're trying to, you know, they're trying to help us from the other side. And I can see why they're trying to do that now, because our own people are fighting each other.
Yeah.
Like, this elder, man, that this was an actual elder I talked to out here. Uh-huh. He had to come up and he told me that, he goes, hey, starts talking to me, he goes, you're an old soul. This looks at me and tells me that. He goes, I recognize you. I looked at him and I said, what? And he goes, I heard you talk before, but a different time.
Whoa.
It's like you're here again.
Oh.
he thinks that I come from, you know, I am one of those ancestors. That's what he starts saying. He thinks that's what I am.
Oh.
But come back in a younger body, you know what I mean? Like a different vessel.
Uh-huh.
So he starts talking about that, and that kind of trips me up. Saying that, I know that I don't want to, I'm just me. Gary Smallboy. That's me. I don't want to, maybe, you know, maybe somebody looked like me. I said, who knows, you know, like, that's just what I'm telling him. But I really listen to my elders, you know. I believe everything. To kick it off, I'll not give the stories. You said you wanted a scary one. Let's hear it.
Yeah, scary story, if you got any scary ones, too.
this is a scary story to tell you guys about, everybody that's listening on this podcast. So I was raised in a place called Small Boy Camp, and it's a place way out in the middle of nowhere. You know, everybody runs on a generator out there. It's still like that today. Everybody has outdoor bathrooms. So that's my childhood. I grew up like that. The nearest town is about almost 2 hours away. So you're in the middle of nowhere. And when we were kids, we always got told about these things that would come out at night. They would tell us, before the sun goes down, you guys always got to go inside. There's things that walk around at night. And us, after those things, we never knew better, you know. And out of nowhere, these dogs start going crazy in camp. You can hear them just barking, going crazy. I started freaking out. Me and my brothers are freaking out inside of our bedroom. You hear the generator ready to go off. Boom, boom, boom. You don't want that generator to go off because you know there's something out there. Lights start going dim. You know that. Generator's ready, almost out of gas, and you're like, you know, my dad wasn't around at the time, so it's just us and my mom, and no, my mom's not going to go out there and start it, you know, we're just kids, and that generator goes out, and as soon as that generator goes out, you start hearing these dogs go crazy, and then out of nowhere, one of our uncles comes at our door, knocking at our door. Freaking out, telling us to lock our doors and don't go outside, keep the kids inside. He said, there's something black going around, it's big.
Uh-oh.
Nobody knows what it is. And it went all night trying to figure out what thing was, because it was going around and was going, people kept seeing it go around these houses and they had seen glimpses of it and they said it was big. So the sun comes up. Remember early that morning, that sun came up, and I was pretty much up all night, too scared to go to bed, you know, and he said, that thing, you know, it's down by the, they go, talking about my grandpa's old pastor, and they said, there's, that thing's down there, it's down at the pasture, it's got one of the mules, something's over it, it's hunched over it, it's got a long neck, they were saying, and I just remember everybody going over there, and they start putting the tip of their bullet across on their bullet.
Mm.
They were everybody jumped on the trucks and everybody started going. I just remember running over. I wasn't supposed to go, but I stuck over there anyway. Just to see, nobody knew I was there. This thing was big.
Well, you're breaking up again, Gary. You said this thing was what?
There you go. But you know those, you know what a reaper looks like?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like a reaper. But this thing's hunched over. And it's over this, what is that? What did I say? It was this mule.
Uh-huh.
Has a long neck, has its long arms, and this thing's... It starts taking off with this mule's skin. It has the head, and it's slip cut. Everything's cut. And this thing, they start shooting at it, and it starts floating away. Oh. And this thing goes around camp, floating away with that fur, like it's hide. And then my mom tells me, I seen that thing when I was a kid. It was small then. She goes, but see, those things exist, she's banging. I go looking, my dog goes missing, so I'm looking for my dog. And for a couple of days, I go down this area in this bush, and I see something black laying there. And my dog's right there with its, like, collar. I flipped over, like, I flipped the skin over, and I knew that thing was there. And you see that thing moving through the bush, taking off. That thing killed my dog.
Oh.
Like, I have more stories. Like, I just don't want to, like, get this, I really hope that, I thought my phone would be good for this, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But I think it must be like your suction. Usually it's good.
It happens. But
that's one of my stories. Yeah,
that is a scary story. What is it? What do you guys call it?
There's no, they had no name for it. They said that it was, the only word that they said was, they said a long time ago there was a jealous woman in camp. They said she was a jealous woman and she used bad medicine on her end because he kept looking at other women, and they said that's what this thing is it's him.
Oh.
They say that. I can't say it on here, but you know what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Everybody believes in it everywhere. You know, I can't say that. Night, you probably know what I'm talking about, you know, with the horns and stuff like that. And like, we're not allowed to. I still believe in that. This day, you know, talk about them at night, but I'll say it one time, man. Why not? You know, like that Wendigo. the one that eats. People, you know, like, needs to eat meat. Always hungry. They said that's what this was. And they said that started from a woman. I'll tell you the story about that right now. So, when they created him, this woman was so jealous about her man looking at other women. She put this curse on her man. And the next day, she made him a steak. He didn't want that steak cooked. They said he started eating that steak raw.
Oh.
So when he started eating it raw, everybody grabbed him and they put him in this place. It was called, it was in Brazoo. They call it Brazoo. And they prayed to the river, to the elements, to the rocks. They call this this part, the river goes two ways. It looks like a Y. They call it the Y. They say he was buried in that Y.
Hmm.
And that they said when one side of the river dries out, so he's put between the Y. And one of the sides, to this day, when I went to go look over there, the other side of the river is already drying out. They said once the other part dries out, that's when he comes out to feed again.
Oh.
Be rest. Isn't that worse out there? And that's what it looked like. So I kind of think that's already out, you know?
Yeah.
Oh. But it sounds really weird. It sounds really weird too. Like it doesn't sound. It sounds like it screams, but it sounds like kind of. It's got the chill talking about this thing. Because I remember hearing about it, right? Like I remember hearing it out there.
Yeah.
And kind of like a weird noise. Like people talk about these Bigfoots when they hear them, they go whoop whoop whoop. You know, they make that weird noise. This doesn't sound nothing like that. This has like a. It's a growl. It's like a growl, like a bear and something else mixed. You know, like just a weird noise. Like it grunts. Because that's how this thing sounded. Like it was grunting when it was carrying that stuff away, that when it was carrying that hide away. And then they, my grandfathers are gone now. They're gone now. They passed away, but they send these little, they pray to the little people to go and fight this thing. And that morning, early that morning, there was all these sparks. You can see it by the mountains there. They said that was them fighting him over there. They chased him up the mountain and they were fighting him up there. And it's been a long time. Like I think it's been a couple years since I went to camp, you know, since I've lived there. And but when I went back for a visit, that's the first thing, that's the first feeling I got, was that remembering my childhood, what I seen out there, what I heard out there. Told my wife that I grew up here, you know, and she goes, oh, it's like in the middle of nowhere. It's the people. It was not, it was a good place to live, I said. It was a good childhood. You got used to hearing these things.
Jeez, how far was it from the nearest town or settlement or anything like that?
Hour and a half away.
Oh, that is way out there.
Yeah. That's all gravel road. Yep. So it's.
What does it look like out there? Is it kind of in a mountainous area? Is it, what's the terrain like out there?
Mountains. It's right in a mountain area. And yeah, it's right in a mountain area. The lake. How can I describe it to you? What movie can I? I'll bring up a movie and see. You seen that movie though, right? Remember? You ever watched The Edge?
Yeah.
With that bear.
Yeah.
You remember when they're by that lake?
I'll have to go back and look.
Well, you remember how it's just all in the mountains?
And oh wait, yeah. Nothing but mountains? Yeah. Yeah.
That's how it looks.
Oh. Dang.
So you're in the middle of nowhere. Yeah, you're in the middle of nowhere. Maybe I'll make a TikTok video and share some videos of camp so you can see what it looks like.
Yeah, you should.
Yep, I can bring those up. Really old place. just wait, the camp is built. I'll try to see if I can end it for me a second. And then I'll... Yes. Yeah, I'd say nothing but mountains and a couple lakes, creeks. So if you're out there, you'd be able to if you yelled, you'd hear your echoes.
Oh.
That's how far out. Yeah, so it's a long way out. Yeah.
Does anybody live out there still?
Yeah, there's all our family still lives out there.
How many is that, roughly?
I'd say about a little over 200, probably, a little 300.
Oh, so that's a pretty good camp out there, then.
Yep, and everybody still gets their water through... They still get their water through the water hole.
Wow.
Yeah, so they're still living old school over there. Like, there's no electricity whatsoever. It's just generators.
Yeah.
So you gotta everybody comes out and they stack up on their gas. So everybody goes an hour and a half away to go fill up these jerry cans, come back, like 10 jerry cans and come back.
Dang.
Get you lot and get the groceries. Yeah.
So are the, in that part, do they still, your family still have the ceremonies and things? Like, are they still really,
They still
hold those ceremonies and everything like that?
Yeah, still traditional. Yeah, everybody still does the sweat lodges, sun dances.
Yeah. Oh, jeez, that's good. That's good.
Yeah, it's, camp is a place. My great-grandfather built camp. He took people away from Hobima, and he had this vision that he was going to take people away from Hobima because he's seen something coming. He said he's seen the white man going to bring this alcohol to Hobima, and it was supposed to ruin the people. So he took a handful of people and created camp, and they followed him. Mm. So when you go to camp, they don't drink there. You're not allowed alcohol there. You can't smoke. It's sacred, old way.
Yeah, he's.
So a lot of people go there when they want to escape the real world, you know, like with the alcohol and all that, they go to camp to heal.
Yeah, it's good.
So it's, you know, it's a good healing, but you got to be really open-minded to what you're going to hear, right?
Yeah.
You're going to hear a bunch of things out there. My uncle still tells me today, he goes, we keep hearing Bigfoot out here.
Oh.
He goes, they're getting closer now. He goes, they rile up the horses, but you hear them, and you hear them banging against the tree. He said, I was so scared to go to the bathroom. He goes, our bathroom's on top of the hill. You got to walk up the hill and our bathroom's there. And he goes, something big was banging it against the tree, hitting a tree with something big. He said, you can hear them. I said, holy, they're getting closer, eh? He goes, yep. And he goes, would you ever move back here? I said, yep. You're not scared? No. I grew up there. Why do I have a reason to be scared there?
Yeah.
When you grow up there, you don't forget. So me living out here now up in BC in British Columbia on Vancouver Island, you know, it's different for me, but when I see how people live over here and live today with electricity, free everything, like just different things, you know what I mean? I'm not used to the life, but I always say when those tough times come, you know, I'm going to know how to survive it, you know, because I grew up with just a generator and, you know, getting my own water, like for my mom.
Yeah.
So I already know how to live that stuff. And one of the things we were always told, no matter where you move, make sure you know how to build a log cabin.
Because
you're going to need it.
Yeah, that's some good advice, man. Yeah, I wish I knew how to build one. I don't even know how.
See, that's something I know how to still build, like a log cabin. You ever need a lessons, bro, like I said, just ask.
Damn, that'd be good. Like our tribe should do something like that. Jesus, we could really use something like that, tell you the truth.
Yeah. That's what it is. It's what we have placed in systems. That's what nobody understands. And this is things our elders always try to tell us is that don't always depend on a white man to build your homes.
Mm-hmm.
We know how to do our own things because everything is already provided to us. Our land is provided to us. You know, have all the resources to build our own things, and a lot of us are just forgetting it.
Yeah, my father-in-law always talked about we're allowed a certain amount of logs per person in our tribe that we can go harvest, and he was always talking about building a log cabin one of these days, you know, and that's some of that older thinking, you know, he gets that from those old guys too.
That's cool. That's good advice right there. You know, he knows what he's talking about, you know, and that's, at least he told you that because that's advice right there itself. You know, like, mm-hmm. just those little tiny words people do not understand. Just those little tiny words, that's a teaching already. And, you know, for everybody like listening to this podcast, you know, I really hope you guys enjoyed what I had to say to our brother here. And I wish it would have sounded a little bit better. You know, I apologize to my brother here, you know, like, if I had like a microphone and stuff like that, it'd be different. You know?
Well, that's all right. I mean, it was good, man. We got what we could get, and that's all we can ask for. You know, I'm just glad we got these stories and you got to share a bit about your dreams, because those are powerful. And when those days come, we need to have an idea of what we're going to do. See, because, my wife, a long time ago, she used to have these dreams. And in these dreams, she said, she woke up one day and she said, you know, there's going to come a time where we have to go into the mountains, is what she said. And she said, the people are going to be led by the morning star and the one that brings down the sun. And it was really weird because those are our kids' names. Brings down the sun and morning star. Those are two of our kids' names. So I always thought in the back of my mind, is she talking about something big that's going to happen? And it's going to be when they're adults, like older, like how we are now. Is it going to be like that?
Yeah.
Or is that, you know, because it's really hard to interpret dreams, I think. Because I think what happens is you get the message, for a lot of us anyways, we will get the dream, we'll get the message, but we really won't know how to interpret it, just, you know, or what it means, right? But dreams are really, really powerful and they're really important. So I'm glad you got to share that. And if there's any more dreams that you want to share, I mean, by all means, we'll do this again and you can share more, you know, because it's important for you to do that. And what people don't really get is when he was having these dreams, when Gary was having these dreams, Trump wasn't even elected as the president yet. Trudeau didn't step down yet. This happened before all that. It's October or sometime, right? When you had these, or August, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
Yeah, so this happened before any of these events went down. And it's common, how would I say it? I don't know if it's common, but it's known that when people have near-death experiences, they usually come back with a different view. It's almost like they can see the spirit world, or they're more connected to it when they come back. And a lot of people talk about that, you know. Different races, different nationalities, different colors and creeds, they all talk about that, being able to be, I guess, more sensitive to that side. And it's actually more common than we think, you know, because there are a ton of stories out there from all different kinds of people. But with your dreams, I think they're an important reminder to all of us that, you know, we still will prevail. And I wish you shared that dream about the darkness, the 3 days of darkness, because that one right there, yeah, it's scary and everything, but I talked to my wife about that, and I said, well, when that time comes, we'll know what to do. We'll know to stay inside of our house and not look out and keep everything locked up, and I'll protect you guys, you know. So
I'll do that one. I'll share that one right now before I get off here, because I think everybody really needs to know this one.
Okay.
I'll do that one for sure. So the 3 days of darkness is what I was showing on this 3 days of darkness was I got told that to lock your doors. This 3 days of darkness, we were told to lock your doors and not to look out your windows, board up your windows. And he said, when I was talking, this is Jesus. This is what I said, my near-death experience there when I saw him. He said that he was going to send some angels to watch each hold and not to not to listen to what you hear crying. He said, you're going to hear crying outside. You're going to hear your own family members outside crying to get in. Don't be deceived, he said. He said, that won't be them. Those were his words. He said, don't be deceived, it won't be them. But I will send angels to each place, he said, to watch over them. Those were his words to me when telling me about that. And he said that these things were going to, you're going to hear children, he said. You'll hear children crying, and if somebody decides to look out the window, he said, those things will see that light, and they won't want to come. But once you open that window, he said, your candles will blow out automatically. Mm-hmm. You know, like, even though they're not inside. That's why he is saying to not open your windows. And that's one of the things that I want people to understand, because I've had a lot of people wanting me to explain it, and I'm explaining it right here on this podcast. Really, you're wanting to know what to do. A lot of people, some have big windows. Like I said, board up your windows when that time comes, because that time is soon. He told me that time was soon. It was going to be, you know, it might even be this year. And I don't know how he said it was going to happen, but he said he was going to make it happen.
Hmm.
So it's already ready. It's set in place. So I don't know how it happens, but I know he pointed to the sun. He showed me something from the sun, and this sun had like this, you know, when a sun whips, how can I say that? Like, something came out of this sun anyway. It looked like a northern light when it came down here. Because he showed me it come down here, and then each city went black. These cities went black like a power outage. And there, you couldn't even see the stars. There was nothing. So I didn't see anything, and he wanted me to warn people about that. But he said that the only thing that is going to save you through that was to pray to him. Pray to him, and he said that we all have this light in us. The ones that don't believe have a dim light, but we all have that light in us. And when we shine that light, that is the light I am talking about that you're going to have in your home.
Hmm.
So I hope everybody understands what I'm talking about. Like, I've seen some people say, talking about candles, what candles do I have to get? What color do they have to be? It doesn't matter what candles you have or what color they are. A candle's a candle. But the real light is within you.
Hmm.
That light is in each and every one of us. It's our soul. That's what these things are going to come out. These things want that. That's what they're going to come for. That's why you're going to hear people crying, he said, because that's what they want. And that scared me. That shook me up.
Oh.
It made me think, like, so if a wolf wanted to come get me with a pack, that's the feeling I got. Was like, it would be something like that. Is that the fear you're going to have? That's what I remember talking to him, asking him, is that the fear I was going to say? He said, it was going to be a worse fear than that.
Oh.
But he said that not to be scared of it, because it's going to be by his doing that these three nights that go black. I just wanted to share that out there, you know, like, I was that dream, you know, that was that dream that, and I told people about it, like, and people want me to, like, tell more about it, you know, like, I only remember what I remember.
Mm-hmm.
But does a day go by that I don't want to finish it? You know, of course I want to finish that dream. I want to, you know, I pray like, okay, maybe somebody has the missing piece to that puzzle. Maybe it's somebody else that comes to me and says, this is what happened in mine. And I'm like, that's what it was. That's it right there. You're that missing piece. You know, that's what he said, you know?
Yeah.
As his words are through pretty much everybody that is having those dreams. And the thing that people need to understand is like what our brother was talking about. I'm here for the host. He told you guys that I had a near-death experience. I never, ever had dreams like this or was able to hear things until I've had that near-death experience. And it wasn't the first time. See, everybody thinks this was my first near-death experience. I had another one before, a while back in front of my wife. I was carrying a tree. My dad cut a six blocker and I was carrying that on my shoulder and I collapsed like that in front of my wife again. But this one was before this happened here. And I saw me and my wife lost a child, a miscarriage. And I saw her. It was weird to see her like that. But she told me, Mom needs you. And she sent me back. But I know who she was standing by. She was safe. Not a day goes by, I don't think of her. But that's the second time. You know, the second time, like I said, was the one I told you guys previous. But the first time was when I saw my daughter. That was the first time I collapsed. My first near-death experience, I remember hovering over my body and looking at my body. I was looking at, it looked like I was sleeping and I was going up. And I said, when you go into, I don't know if it's heaven. I said, but this place I went to, you know what like a little tiny portal looks like? Mm-hmm. It looks like a portal when you travel through it. That's what it feels like. You get like, you know, when you, if you went through something, you get that motion sickness. Because you're going so fast. That first, I was going up slow, and then out of nowhere was like something that sucked me up like poof. And you start shooting. You start shooting up, and it's like you're seeing everything so fast. You start seeing, it's like you're seeing the universe, like you're seeing stars, you're seeing all these things go by so fast. And then you hit this common ground, like you hit this common air, like this boom. And then everything is just like calm. You don't know where you are, but it's like you're in this area in the middle of nowhere. That's how I know I didn't go all the way up, because I got stopped at a certain point. And that's where my daughter was waiting for me. Like she said, it was like, you know, in my head, it was like, she was like, no, Dad, you're not going there yet. I'm going to stop you right here. You know, it's not your time. Mom needs you. And then looks at me, tells me she's okay. She looks at me, and when she tells me to wake up, I wake up. Oh. I wake up. My brother, I didn't know my brother was giving me mouth-to-mouth. He was giving me VR. He's crying. My dad was crying. My dad's just getting mad, saying, you don't do that. You don't do that. You know, getting really mad. Scared because I was gone.
Yeah.
But what scared him the most was I came back happy. I came back happy. because anybody that would come back, you know, like, would be like, what? You know, freaking out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody would come back happy. Because nobody wants to die.
Yeah.
But I came back smiling and came back smiling all happy and saying, that's who I saw. I saw another. Amazing.
Wow.
But those are my experiences. Those are my two experiences, and I'm happy to share them with our my brother here on this podcast. You know, I'm happy. It's an honor to be here. You know, I really hope for everybody that watches this, that I want you guys to know that the other side is real. There is a heaven, and it is what you make it. Heaven is what you make it. So how you live on earth, what you see on earth, something that takes you back to your childhood, is what you're going to see on the other side. And it is amazing. It's beautiful. You know, it's life-changing. It makes you want to change your life for the better. And I'm not saying I don't want somebody to go and try and do something stupid to try to see what it is, because it doesn't work like that. It doesn't work like that. You know, if it's meant to be, it's meant to be. If it's not, it's not. But enjoy your guys' lives. Love your life. Cherish your guys' lives, because there's a lot more. There's a lot more meaning to your life. It's not the end. We think it's the end here. But now I know our body's only a vessel. Because we don't look like that on the other side. We're this big ball of light. I remember looking at I couldn't even look at my skin. I just remember looking and I was this light. That's what we are on the other side. And I was happy to shot, and now my baby's up. So I was happy to share that, brother, and it was an honor being here. And I'll do another one for sure with you. You know, I'll write some of my stuff and I'll get everything together, because it sounds like you want to hear more.
Yeah,
and that's awesome.
And the honor's all mine, man. I appreciate you coming on and doing this with me.
For sure. And, you know, one of the things I'll tell you, like, cherish your life. You know, cherish your life. And know there is another side, and know there is hope. There is hope for everything, and there is warnings. And our... No, they don't care about it. So if there's anything up there like that scares you and fear, just remember we do this light in us. So when you walk with that light thinking that, okay, well, I'm not scared of you. I'm just going to keep walking with my head high. I'm not scared of you. They get scared of you. You don't realize that these things out that are out there are actually scared of you. Mm-hmm. You're the monster. You're their monster. Because you're something beautiful, you know, like you're a ball of light. Nothing can touch you. What you see in movies, that's just movies, you know, like for anybody that's going to be watching this podcast, what you see in movies is to build you up with fear. Because that's what they want from you. They want everybody to have fear. But nobody should have fear. Because I know we're more than that. I've seen it. We're more than that. And we all have these... what people don't understand is we have these powers. That's what nobody understands. We all have a gift. Some people have different types of gifts. Gift of singing. Gift of dancing. All these different things. Laughter. Telling stories. Sharing your dreams. And with that, that's what I'm going to go out with. And I was happy to be here. I was happy to share this with everybody that's going to be watching this. And my brother's been trying to get me on here, and I'm sorry I let him down a little early, but I was happy. This was awesome, you know. Like, maybe sometime we'll do something with YouTube, you know.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll do something with YouTube.
Oh, brother, I really appreciate it, man.
That's good. It was an honor.
There's a lot of good appreciate stories. You. Yeah, appreciate you, man. First win, how'd I say it? Winnebago. First Winnebago story I've had on the podcast. There's a lot of good stories, and especially your dreams. They're so powerful. I'm really glad you came on and did this.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. It was definitely good. I was happy to share it out there. But everybody always tells me to put my video. You should put your videos together. Well, we just did. We did half of it. That's good. You got it, brother. You're the one that has it. So it's good. You got that.
Well, geez, man. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome, brother. All right. Yeah, with that, we can close it out with that. And appreciate everybody that's going to be watching this. And go give our brother a follow, man. Like, you know, I'm going to be on it too. You know, go check him out. You know, like what he's doing here and with ghost stories and stuff for everybody that's going to be watching out there. This is what people need to be doing, is getting people's stories out there for a lot of people that need to be heard. There's anybody going to be watching this? If there's anybody out there that's having dreams and visions and whatnot, and you want to get your story out there, come to our brother here, you know, Lodge Tales Podcast. Come check it out. And this is my first time coming on here, and I enjoyed it. And first time I actually felt like I got to speak, you know, without being interrupted or anything. This was amazing. It was an honor.
Yeah. Jeez, thanks, Gary. Well, there you have it, man. Just tell them where they can find you real quick, and then we'll end it there.
Yeah, you guys can find me on TikTok with my same name, Gary Smallboy TikTok. I have two accounts. The other one says TikTok too, and the other one, that's my backup, but my original account is just Gary Smallboy TikTok, and I have all of my stuff on there, dreams, videos, but you can find me on TikTok. You can find me on YouTube as well. I have my stuff on YouTube too, and that's same thing, Gary Smallboy TikTok on YouTube. And other platforms I just opened up, but I'm not really on them because I thought TikTok was shutting down, so but it didn't. So you can find me on those two apps. Yeah, and if I do come up with another app, I'll definitely keep everybody informed.
Well, there you have it. Follow him there, TikTok and YouTube. I'll be following you too on YouTube. I didn't subscribe yet, but I'll be there.
For sure, brother, for sure.
All right, well, thanks, man. All right. And have a good night. Appreciate it.
Yeah, for sure, brother. For sure. Like I said, it was amazing. It was awesome. And I hope you have a great, great evening. Stay safe. Stay blessed.
All right. Thanks, man. We'll see you now.
All right. Take care, Andrew.
Yeah, Gary. Gary Smallboy. When I first sat down with him and I was recording these, and when I first started hearing some of these stories that I haven't heard before from him, I really didn't know what to say, and I really didn't want to cut him off during any of it. I just wanted him to speak, and I'm glad he felt like he had the chance to finally talk without being interrupted and being heard. But Gary has so many more stories. He has so many more. And I take all of his dreams as warnings. Warnings of some hardship about to come. And, you know, dreams are symbolic. There's a lot of things in those dreams that, you know, I feel are just, you know, symbolic. So I guess it's up to him, us, to try and figure out what those symbols mean. But either way, you know, he's encouraging us to go back to our ceremonies, to pray. You know, call upon our ancestors, those good spirits, and, you know, the Creator. And I think that's what, you know, a lot of us could get back to, you know, and it would really help us, especially those of us that are struggling in our lives. You always turn back to the old ways. That's what I've done in my life, and I've always gotten through because I turned back to our old ways. Those ways are powerful, and you can count on them. Now, the Wendigo. Let me hear your guys' comments about all of this. I want to hear what you guys have to say after this episode. I don't even know what where to begin with my thoughts. You know, like, I could sit here and probably go on about another whole hour talking about it, you know, but I want to hear your guys' thoughts. I'm really excited to hear that. So if you can, please drop some comments wherever you can. I'll get them and try to respond. to each and every one of them. And share this share this podcast everywhere. Excuse me. Everywhere you can. I mean, tell your friends about it, tell your family, like, you know, just share the podcast, get the word out there. And I, as always, I appreciate every one of you that listen. And all my friends I grew up with, just shout out to you guys. You know who you are. You, those of you that know me, you know who you are. And until next time.
All you homeowners have unique needs. Some feel the need to leave up holiday decorations year-round. Others have the need to use their garage as practice space for their new metal band. And because each homeowner has unique needs, GEICO helps you get the right coverage for your home and what's in it. That way, you get exactly what's right for you, even if your needs are unique. Get more with GEICO.